This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Thanks for streaming WSOY on NowDecatur.com. This stream is presented by Hickory Point Bank, Invested. Their investment in Decatur is an investment in everyone who calls Decatur home.
University of Illinois Department of Physics was shot into space Wednesday from the International Space Station. The satellite was constructed as part of a collaborative experiment of the U of I and the University of Waterloo in Canada. The satellite is the size of a loaf of bread, but it contains an experiment that will help researchers determine how to protect a future quantum internet satellite network from radiation in orbit. Since the Macon County Health Department's last update on Wednesday, there have been 47 new COVID-19 cases reported in Macon County. This brings the total number of local COVID-19 cases to 15,293 since the start of the pandemic. There are currently 15 hospitalizations. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to NowDecatur.com.
Getting out of Afghanistan. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. More Americans who are still there a month and a half after the U.S. troop withdrawal and chaotic evacuations will be flying away along with many others.
Hundreds of Afghan civilians and foreign nationals who will be making their way onto a Qatari jet and then flying to Doha, safely getting out of Taliban territory. Some of those American citizens who have been waiting to flee Afghanistan.
Fox's Trey Yingst in Kabul. A group of mostly American missionaries are now hostages in Haiti, kidnapped over the weekend. Fox's Tanya J. Powers has an update live.
Dave, U.S. officials are working with authorities in Haiti to try and get the 17 people with a U.S.-based missionary group, Christian Aid Ministries, freed. The group says on its website the number includes 5 men, 7 women, and 5 children. Police say they were abducted outside Port-au-Prince on Saturday by a gang notorious for killings, kidnappings, and extortion. The kidnappers have demanded $1 million ransom. This all just comes just days after high-level U.S. officials visited Haiti and promised more resources for their national police to help reduce gang violence. Dave.
Tanya, COVID cases declined again last week in the U.S. for a fourth week in a row to just below 600,000. In Chicago, COVID vaccine mandates for city employees take effect today.
Police unions are suing, and as many as half of that city's sworn officers are expected to defy the order. The already depleted police department in the city attempting damage control by restricting time off requests. The city's police union leader encouraging officers not to comply. A move Mayor Lori Lightfoot compared to an insurrection. Lightfoot also vowing to put defiant officers on no-pay status.
Fox's Marianne Rafferty. Some parents and teachers and school staffers plan a walkout today in California to protest a looming vaccine mandate for students once there's approval for the COVID vaccine for younger kids. America's listening to Fox News.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask,
Could I have EPI? Sponsored by AbbVie.
Former President Trump is supposed to go under oath this morning, though it's not about his election fraud claims or his taxes or any investigations related to his presidency.
The deposition will be given in a case brought by several Hispanic protesters who say they were assaulted by security guards at Trump Tower in 2015. The four plaintiffs say the beating, which they called violent during a protest, infringed on their free speech rights. Lawyers for the Hispanic men plan to question the former president in person at the New York high-rise that he used as his primary residence before moving to Mar-a-Lago in Florida. They will allow for an emergency postponement, but say the deposition must be done by the end of the month. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
And Wall Street stocks could fall. Futures are down, so our markets overseas. After a week of gains, the Dow rose about 1.5%. The NASDAQ went up more than 2%. More drama in baseball's playoffs.
Los Angeles Dodgers led the Atlanta Braves 4-2 after Jock Peterson hit a two-run home run of the seventh inning, but the Braves evened the score in the bottom of the eighth on a single by Ozzie Albies and a double by Austin Riley. 4-4 in the bottom of the ninth.
Eddie Rosario, three hits tonight against Kenley Jansen. And first ball swinging. Oh, and it gets through. And here comes the winning run. Swanson scores. And the Braves win again in their final at-bat.
On CBS, Eddie Rosario singled home the winning run to lift the Braves over the Dodgers 5-4 for a commanding 2-0 lead in the best-of-seven National League Championship Series. Atlanta two wins from going to the World Series. NLCS shifts to Los Angeles tomorrow night for Game 3. Jared Max, Fox News.
In the NFL, the Arizona Cardinals won again to stay undefeated, beating Cleveland. And three games went to overtime. Pittsburgh beat Seattle last night on an OT field goal. Dallas topped New England. Minnesota edged Carolina on touchdowns in overtime. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Before.
Good morning. Here's a look at your WSOY 3-day weather forecast. Today's going to be sunny with a high of 72 and tonight clear with a low around 47. For Tuesday, sunny with a high of 70. And Wednesday, we've got a slight chance of showers after 1 p.m. Mostly sunny with a high of 74. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 45 degrees. And your WSOY time, 6:06.
Good morning and welcome to the Monday, October 18th edition of Byers & Company. Kevin Verhaney in studios here today. We'll visit with Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. The company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a chilly Monday morning. I believe fall has arrived, although the weather looks about as good this week as you're going to get, I would imagine. No rain until a week from today, 70s and 60s, even the 50s for the high over the next 7 days, and the leaves will be turning, hopefully. I think we're going to get by without all that rainy fall stuff where everything just falls to the ground and nothing changes. I hope.
I hope so, too. I mean, we have occasional chances of rain, but it's more likely not to rain.
I don't see anything until next Monday.
And I just read one.
But what was yours?
Wednesday, 30% chance of showers after 1 p.m.
Not seeing that at all.
Good. I got a golf game on Wednesday.
Really? Everything needs to be turned up just a little bit, Nick, here this morning. Well, I hope your golf game isn't hampered by the weather. I don't know. It looks pretty nice for the next 6 or 7 days. And I'm hopeful. We've got our Rome contest, our fall photo contest. If you're out there, cool prize involved with that. We had Decatur's Got Talent on Saturday night down at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater, sort of the last hurrah for the Devon of the year. They officially closed a couple of weeks ago with their last big show, and the top 20 performers competed Saturday night. It was really cool. I don't watch the TV show. Are you guys fans of America's Got Talent?
Yeah, I'll watch any of those.
Yeah.
We have been.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just never have watched any of those American Idol, any of it. But it was a lot of fun Saturday night. We went down really not knowing what to expect, other than we had 40 finalists, and there were like 40,000 votes to narrow that down to the 20 finalists that went down to the Devon and performed. I thought, oh my goodness, 20 people, that's going to take forever. It was like less than 2 hours, you know, because they had the stage set up where one would go out and perform, boom, you know, the next one. So they did the first 10, an intermission, and the second 10. And it was unbelievable.
Mostly singers?
Singers. A dancer won the thing, the really? $5,000. There was a violinist. There was a sort of virtuoso pianist who played unbelievable. There were kids who did the whole drum stuff on the buckets, you know, like the plastic buckets. It was just fun.
What did the dancer do to win? I mean, was it what kind of dance? Ballet, tap, jazz?
No, you obviously had a daughter who spent some time in dance just to be able to reel off those categories. It was some sort of interpretive gymnastics, sort of like a lot of different moves. I mean, I was side stage and right in front taking pictures, so I didn't sort of get the perspective of watching it from the crowd. She was a very amazing young woman. Her name was, hang on a second, Kiera Riedel, or Riedel, R-E-I-D-E-L. She took home the top prize of $5,000. There was a singer by the name of Jayla Lee, who was absolutely amazing, who got second place with $1,500. Sure. And then third place was a saxophonist by the name of Chris Gregg, who got the whole place just rocking. There was a 12-year-old kid, singer. There was just a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you know, like you said, I grew up with a dancer. These young people work year after year after year to get to be that good. And then after about their 10th or 13th year, they're terrific. And it's amazing to me what these teachers can teach these young people when it comes to talent like that.
We had the Jocelyn Karyanis won the fan favorite $500 prize for the most votes online, and then all of them came out and competed. And I want to thank all of our sponsors, Hickory Point Bank and Brinkotter Realtors and Richland Community College and Dale Southlake Pharmacy and Coley's Corner Drugs, State Farm agents Melanie and Al Schelling, Milliken University, Dynagraphics, Fast Impressions, and then we were happy, along with GT Church, to support the cause. It was a fun night. I think that thing has a chance to grow into something really big.
Yeah, it sounds like a fun night, and it's interesting. Did you see any or have any encounters with the kids' parents? Were there any showbiz parents?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't judge those things. I learned that a long time ago. I am not anywhere near being the one deciding who wins. I tried that one time with karaoke. That's a disaster.
Hey, I remember when the Decatur Celebration did something like this, and I was a judge, and I got lobbied.
Oh, at the Battle of the Bands?
Well, no, it was a talent contest.
Oh.
And I just got lobbied. It wasn't overt or anything nefarious. It was just that some parents wanted to make sure I knew their kid was in it. And I said, okay. Their kid did not win, just for full disclosure there. But, I mean, the parents get emotionally involved in these things, too. As they should. They watched their kid work hard for a long time.
I didn't see any of that behavior on display. But once again, I wasn't up near the judge's stand, and so I don't know. I was kind of surprised. There were so many talented people. I mean, really talented. That it could have been any number of people that would have won, and I would have said, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's. I'm really happy to hear a dancer won. I would have thought for sure it would have been a singer, and that's pretty cool. Sounds like everything was very objective.
Well, they had I think one of the Mount Zion Swing Stations person, and I think the Decatur, like what is it, Elite Energy or whatever, Don Sterling from WAND and Jerry Johnson from the Decatur Area Arts Council were the judges. And I don't know, I didn't see like the sheets, man. I don't know what they were scoring them on. I wasn't that involved in that detail of that part of the event. I just thought it was fun. And Tat did a great job emceeing all night. It was chilly, you know, but there were several, you know, a few hundred people out there, you know, support group and families and friends. And it was a fun night. It was really, I was kind of dreading it just because the temperatures were going to dip down into the 40s. I thought, oh, man, this is going to be chilly. And got down there, and it just flew by. I mean, just performer after performer after performer. And particularly the young kids. That 12-year-old kid, you had to get up there, get on stage, and you know, do his thing. That's tough in front of a crowd.
Yeah, and that really helps him in life. There was a young lady that came to the Decatur Celebration, came in second place in a talent contest. I was talking to her parents over last week, and she now has won some major internships because of presentations she gave for Caterpillar. And now she's in college. She's an intern with Caterpillar with a bullet, and she'll probably be offered a full-time job. And for her to have the confidence to give the presentation that she did, and it was a more of an academic business type of presentation, I credit her confidence from being a singer as a young kid. It just is amazing what it does for you later on in life.
Getting up in front of a stage or on a stage full of people and an audience, yeah, I think that's right. It's a learning experience. So anyway, Nick, you would have liked it. I was thinking about you like about halfway through the show. I'm like, you know, Nick would get a kick out of this because these people are up there just doing their thing.
Yeah, we ended up going to Springfield and St. Louis like I talked about last week, and I was hoping to catch some of it. I saw your photo gallery, and you're absolutely right. I love that kind of stuff. I'm a sucker for it. Any one of the shows that comes on, I love to watch. A couple of my friends have been on the TV shows. One was a BMX trick, you know, bike rider that won X Games Gold from Milliken. And, you know, so there's talent in all kinds of different stuff. And as a variety show, I love that stuff.
No, it was fun. And big thanks to Pastor Matt and all the crew Saturday night down at the Devon and the Devon folks as well. It's officially closed now. I think that was the very last thing happening there during the season, but it was a good time.
Boy, the Park District deserves an A-plus on what they did with the Devon this past season. And you know, now they got Boo at the Zoo, and they got the Christmas lights things coming. The Park District has really provided great quality of life in this community.
Absolutely. All right, we have a lot to get to here today and a lot to talk about. I have not talked to you since the Cardinals fired their manager. What was the deal there? You know, I was talking to Nick. You know, we had a chance to visit with John Mozeliak a few years ago down at spring training. I mean, the guy is confident.
Bordering on cocky. But, you know, he's been successful, too. This was an executive decision made, I don't think by emotion, definitely a difference of opinion. We're going to break it down tonight on Mac on Sports. Tom McNamara wrote a long article on the firing of Mike Schilt. But I worried all year long that Schilt was going to get fired. I had Mike Claiborne on your show, and he said, no, I'm wrong, he's not going to. And then
Why were you worried about it?
Because I thought Schilt was a player's coach. I thought Schilt really, really was an old-time kind of scout, not an analytical type. And he coached. He was a player's coach. He worried about the human beings, the emotional side. And he went overboard, I think, with Alex Reyes and trying to build his confidence back after losing it, after having a great first half of the season. He went probably further than he should with Alex Reyes. He finally moved him to the sixth inning. And then they go on this 17-game winning streak, and I'm saying, thank God they're going to go into the playoffs. Schilt just won his job back. That's what I felt. And then, you know, he puts Reyes in, and I think analytics versus old-time management came into play, and that's why he got fired.
All right. Who are they going to get?
Oh, you know.
That's going to take you to the playoffs your first 3 years as a head coach.
Well, the one that makes sense to me is Jose Oquendo. But I don't know. He may not want it. He's getting older. But I think he would relate with the Hispanic players really well, and I think he's got enough juice with being with the organization long enough that everyone respects him. But I think you brought up Mazalak. Mm-hmm. I think Mazalak is wanting a guy that's going to do everything he tells him to do. I think he's gotten to that level to where he thinks he knows best about everything. I hate to say that because I credit John Mazalak with a lot of Cardinal success, but you listen to him talk versus like a Schultz. There are difference of night and days. Schultz is all about the team, and Mazalak's all about the business.
Yeah, I don't know. Then he should get in the dugout and coach.
Well, I think he wants a. You know, there's people that say he wants a puppet in that dugout. I don't know.
I don't either. I was surprised.
I was shocked. Although, boy, it was a boneheaded move to put Reyes in. And Mike Schilt opened up a Pandora's box by doing that.
Yeah, decision and one wild card game versus.
But you know, these guys won 18 games to get into that wild card game. You got to think about the mentality of the whole team, too, not just the confidence of one. And that was my criticism of Schilt. I love Schilt.
But how do you win 18? I mean, it's the same thing. If you're going to blame him for the one loss, you got to give him credit for the 18 games to get there.
I did give him credit.
Yeah.
I don't want him fired over it. I just wish he hadn't done it. I don't understand why we had Mikolas in there, standing there watching Reyes warm up. I go, no, switch those guys out. Reyes should have gone in on the sixth inning until he can prove that he's got this mental block fixed, because he's the poor guy. You know, look at Ian Keel. Ian Keel just there's so much pressure in being a pitcher that sometimes you just got to deal with it. She'll try to deal with it by building confidence. Putting him in that ninth inning made no sense. And I don't know where this philosophical difference came in, but that could have been the straw that broke the camel's back with Mazalak.
All right. We'll see. Are they going to go after a name? I mean, last time they didn't.
There's a leader in the clubhouse that already is in the clubhouse, Oliver Marmol, who's their bench coach, drafted by the Cardinals in 07, worked his way all the way up through base coach, very popular with the players, and a young guy that's embracing a lot of the technology and analytics approach to hitting that seems to be the rift. That's per Bernie Mikolas.
Right. And I think that's what really – there's the philosophical difference. I think it's all about moving toward the analytics. Remember, we talked about this when we were down there.
Yeah, the analytics. I mean, aren't we past sort of the money ball stuff? I mean, we've been there so long, they've already done a movie with Brad Pitt.
I think it's become almost all analytics now.
Yeah, there are teams that are relying on data more than they are human intuition at this point, and it's been successful.
Then why even have a coach?
Well, this is also a pet project of DeWitt. This is something he implemented and was very excited to do. So, because you need somebody to steer for a little longer.
Why? I mean, but literally, with the analytics, why is the coach even necessary?
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you why. I mean, we all work in businesses. Leadership matters. And, you know, there are all kinds of leaders. There are leaders that run an organization that are CEOs, and then there are leaders that get the rank and file to execute. And in this case, the CEO wants to move more in his direction of leadership than, I don't know, I think good emotional leadership for your employees is just as important as analytics. You gotta pay attention to, I guess, the analytics.
There's too much of it.
I agree. It's just
in baseball. I've lost a lot of interest in baseball. It was exciting to watch them get on that streak at the end of the season and even make the postseason, because we didn't feel like they were going to be there at all, right? I mean, and they do this miraculous thing that's never been done in the history of the Cardinals. And then you pull the plug on this thing. I mean, if you want somebody just sitting up there with a computer running the club, that's fine. I mean, if that's what you want to do. I just don't understand why we think baseball managers matter. I mean, if that's going to be the case.
And I'll go full circle on this and say if Schilt would have put Reyes in and Reyes would have struck out the sides.
Yeah, then he'd been a hero.
I would say he was a genius, and he's figured this guy out. But obviously he hasn't, And it may have contributed to him losing his job. I thought it was unfair. I like Mike Schilt, and I credit him for getting him, but I also credit the team for stepping up and doing what they needed to do and made Mike Schilt look like the manager I thought he was. And it's just unfortunate. And I don't want to talk negatively about Mazalak because he's done great in that role, but I don't much care for his demeanor these days.
Yeah. It's been a while when you say what he's done, you know, and he didn't do it by himself, clearly. But it's been a minute since the Cardinals had some big success.
I'll give you an example. I listened to Sports on a Sunday Morning coming back from St. Louis, and they gave Mike Schilt 40 minutes. And he gets it every Sunday morning. And he is an open book, Mr. Transparency. He will say the good, bad, and the ugly about his team, but he'll do it in a very dignified way. And you just got to say, boy, I'd work for that guy. You really like him. Then the next 20 minutes they give to John Mazalak. And he comes across very arrogant and very, and I'm thinking, wow, there's a contrast there of two leadership styles. And it's good that they can all work together. Well, obviously they can.
No. And it's been a decade since the Cardinals won a World Series.
Right, but they have been in the top two or three, I think the Dodgers and possibly the Red Sox are the other two that have the best winning percentage and playoff appearances in the span that he's been there. So he's putting up numbers.
Yeah, I just what I'm saying, I don't know what you're going to bring in that's going to do that much better is what I'm asking. And maybe it is a difference between making a wild card game or you know, going deep into the postseason. I don't know.
I think they moved to analytics. And analytics is the way they're going to drive their team. Who knows if that's right or not. It takes a lot of the fun out of the game if I was a ball player. By the way, congratulations to your Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, that's fun, right?
Up 2-0?
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back with more Kevin Burhaney in studios. Nick Smith with your three-day forecast. Don't go anywhere.
Today's going to be sunny with a high of 72, and tonight clear with a low around 47. For Tuesday, sunny with a high of 70, and Wednesday, 30% chance of showers after 1 p.m., mostly sunny and a high near 74. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 45 degrees. Your WSOI time is 626, and this look at your weather brought to you by Staley Credit Union, celebrating 91 years of service.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere, located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Hi, JR here from Speed Lube, and I'm just like you. I don't like waiting around for something to get done either. At Speed Lube, we pride ourselves in offering you the best customer service experience in as little time needed, featuring quality Pennzoil motor oil. Speed Lube and Pennzoil are two names you can trust to keep your vehicle running at tip-top shape regardless of the weather. Stop in and visit us at any of our six convenient Decatur area locations or our shops in Lincoln and Clinton, and get your Pennzoil oil change today at Speed Lube.
Millikan University believes in the promise of Macon County students. That's why we've made our own Macon promise to you by giving a reduced tuition rate for all new Macon County students. This reduced rate is guaranteed for up to 4 years, relieving the stress of uncertainty about college costs. Students are also eligible for additional scholarships and financial aid. We're here for Macon County. We promise. Learn more about the reduced annual tuition rate for new Macon County students at millikan.edu/Macon Promise.
Add curb appeal with the new ThermaTrue entry door from Maroa Lumber. Whether you want the look of real wood or a pop of color, you'll find a wide variety of styles to choose from. ThermaTrue doors are durable and energy efficient. They won't rot like wood or dent or rust like steel. They offer up to 4 times the insulation value of most wood doors and carry outstanding warranties. No wonder they're the most preferred entry door brand among building professionals. Discover the ThermaTrue doors at Maroa Lumber, 229 East Main in Maroa.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
been a little bit of a Joan Jett tear recently.
Yeah, two whole songs.
I think it's the same one. Crank It Up twice.
No, it was the other one.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Told you I watched that documentary about her.
Yeah, you did.
She's a fascinating lady.
Yeah, did you guys see that new Beatles? You mentioned that release, but that book that Target has on the on that documentary looks awesome.
The Peter Jackson documentary that's coming?
Yeah, there's a book out there. It looks great.
You said, is it Target?
Yeah, in a display out in the aisle.
Oh.
Yeah, check it out. By like the Lego aisle.
Coffee table book?
Yeah, about yearbook, high school yearbook size.
Okay. This is, of course, Kevin, we only have 30 seconds here just as a forewarning. The new Peter Jackson documentary where they had all the undiscovered video of the Beatles. Is it doing Let It Be, right? I mean, it was the... the album they were recording, and there's a new version of that out, and now a book. I'm all in.
Me too.
Yeah, it's tied directly to that project.
How is it that in 2021, after all of these years, we're still getting new Beatles stuff? This feels like Tupac to me. It's like, you know, is there just some vault that's just got an unexhausted sort of supply? We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This is Shiler with your stories now. The Illinois Department of Public Health is following recommendations from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to adopt the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists' guidance for pre-K through 12 school-associated outbreaks. The new national recommendation that Illinois is adopting defines a school outbreak as either multiple cases compromising at least 10% of students, teachers, or staff within a core group, or at least three cases within a specified core group. Millikan University and community organization Not Forgotten Incorporated have partnered to host an event on the challenges associated with autism spectrum disorder on Thursday, October 21st. The event titled My Experience as a Spectrum Person will feature guest speaker Mayor Fox, an adjunct faculty member in history, organizational leadership, and sociology at Millikan. The event will be held from 7 to 8 p.m. on October 21st in Schilling Hall, room 315 on Millikan University's campus. This event is free and open to the public, but masks are required to be worn. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to NowDecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Democrats in Congress are still trying to work out among themselves what's in and what gets cut from a big social spending plan. Their self-imposed deadline to pass that and a bipartisan infrastructure bill is at the end of the month. California Congressman Brad Sherman says he doesn't think that'll happen, but they should try.
We're trying to do something enormous.
Wisconsin Senate Republican Ron Johnson says about the big spending plans.
It's just a laundry list of new entitlements. Make more Americans dependent on government, explode our deficits, explode our debt.
They were both on Fox. More than 77% of Americans 12 and up are now vaccinated for COVID-19, according to the Centers for Disease Control. It's nearly 96% of people over 65.
COVID cases in northern states have started to rise as the weather turns colder, with the New York Times reporting that the ones with the fastest rising caseloads are Vermont, Colorado, New Hampshire, Michigan, and Minnesota.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. America's listening to Fox News.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Can you just leave out that part, chance of rainy Wednesday? It looks nice to me for like 7 days.
It does look good.
Enjoy the weather.
It does look good. Today, especially sunny with a high near 72. Tonight's clear with a low around 47. Tuesday, sunny again with a high of 70. Wednesday's mostly sunny with a high of 74 and a very slight chance of showers after 1 p.m. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 43 degrees, and your WSOY time is 6:32.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Back here on a Monday, good morning and welcome. We are live in the soon-to-be abandoned studios, they tell us.
It was supposed to be today.
I
got a text.
It was supposed to be July 1st.
Well, you know, there's a lot of cables being run. I was up there. You gave me a tour. It looks beautiful. It's easier said than done, I'm sure.
In the world today... we went to the store yesterday. You can't get plain chips.
Potato chips?
Yeah, plain potato chips.
Lay's?
Any brand.
Man.
Gone.
I'd stock
by lunch meat. Like, you know, I mean, it's crazy right now. The supply chain issues are real. Everything is, you know, I mean, it's everything from furniture to, I mean, you name it. I mean, across the board. It's just weird. It's going to be weird Christmas.
Yeah, I went to the Galleria in St. Louis for a quick pit stop, and the three or four stores that I would normally look in did not look anything like what I would be used to.
Yeah, it is, you know, so I don't know. It's going to be strange. But, yes, you're right. It was supposed to be today. And that's, we're hoping, you know, now for the end of the month. This is just sort of what Nick and I do. We've now become, you know, we don't believe anything. Sure. Throw that mirage out in front of us again.
Hey, there are so many dark mornings of just me in here. So I'm running on house money at this point. I'm ahead.
All right. Well, anyway, good morning and welcome. We were talking about management during the break. It was interesting, you know, the Cardinals and Cardinals fans in particular were really obnoxious to the Cub fans about, you know, their one win and all the wins we've had. And, yeah, there's 11 World Series. But let's put that into context. The last one was a decade ago, right? And the one before that was before the iPhone came out.
Yeah.
It's not like you've had a Yankees sort of run here the last number of years.
And all of them were done without a huge influence on the analytics.
Yeah.
But now,
Hard to think that the analytics would give you that David Freese home run.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know that you could have gotten any kind of team to go on a 17-game winning streak without emotion and clubhouse continuity and the do-or-die kind of mentality. I don't think analytics came into play there. Now, that may have had something to do with what players you got on the team, but it wasn't working when one pitcher...
Yeah, I know. But let's talk about management, though, because this is a more fascinating conversation to me. Mozeliak has gotten most of the player decisions right, the big ones.
Yeah.
I mean, Pujols could have gone either way. It didn't. It went the Cardinals' way.
Right. And Goldschmidt and Arenado are two huge latest big decisions.
Yeah, but I'm talking more about the letting people go when it's time to let them go, or you think it's time to let them go, or right before they even know it's time to let them go. You know, for the most part, I would say he's gotten that right.
He did get that right, and from all the inside chatter about that is the ownership wanted to keep Pujols, and he said, no, we can't, because he's older than he says he is, and that 10-year contract is going to go against us as he ages out. And they front-end loaded the contract instead of balanced it over the 10 years based on performance toward the end. And he didn't go for that because the Angels gave him a 10-year deal.
And I don't blame him for doing that. But
that was a good move.
Yeah. Nick, you were getting ready to say something.
Yeah, the two knocks on him per Bernie Mikolas in that same article let me flip that. He's been overwhelmingly consistent and overwhelmingly positive influence on the Cardinals, Mozeliak. That is, the two knocks are sometimes he misses pretty bad on overpriced relievers. They're just duds when they get there, which is okay. And sometimes he does keep some guys around a little too long, but I would agree with you, Brian. I would say it's probably like 70-30.
I think that you could argue that you know, the Molinas of the world are more important to the organization than what they necessarily do on the field the last year or two of their contract.
Yeah, I wouldn't count Wainwright and Molina as negatives that.
Who did he keep around too long?
He didn't Carpenter.
Carpenter's the worst example of it for sure. But there's probably been four or five like that. I'm not going to be able to land on.
Let me ask you this though. Let's take baseball out of the equation because that turns a lot of the people. I mean, that are not baseball fans off to the conversation. This is more to me about decision making and management. You know, why would you not be loyal to a Carpenter?
Well, he was.
But I'm saying, even if you limp out the last couple of years, a guy gives you a career like that. In what other industry would you not be loyal to them?
Well, it was funny that you asked that because in that interview I told you I heard on Sports on Open Sunday morning, Mozeliak said the reason why we kept Carpenter is for all the reasons you just said. And we in the Cardinal organization show we are loyal to those who have been good to us. And then he does that to show. There had to be a fight.
Okay, let's stay off the this. I want to
I'll speak on Carpenter. Two
okay,
things.
You guys are sportsing out on me here.
No, on the management of Carpenter.
Okay.
I heard out of Mazalok's own lips that they kept him around with the idea that maybe, you know, the DH would be coming, but less sports related. You asked what other industry where the situation would come up. I would say that really when a guy can't do the job that's being asked, you replace him with somebody who can do it for way cheaper. It happens in all industries.
Okay. It doesn't make it right. And
it happens literally in all industries.
Okay. But it does.
If you can't make the car part anymore, you get a guy in there who can make the car part and he's probably cheaper.
What if you can make the car part, but you don't want to pay the price for him?
He can't make the car part anymore.
Who
he can't?
Chill couldn't?
Carpenter. I mean, if it's every couple of days he does all right on the manufacturing line, that's not good enough anymore. Move on.
All right. You're suggesting that a guy making the car part is the same as a major league pitcher who pitches every few days and has some success or not. And even in a
Are you talking
good
about Chris
year,
Carpenter or Matt Carpenter?
I'm sorry, Matt Carpenter. I was using a pitcher analogy. It does. I mean, any player. Let's just take sports out of it completely because it's different.
Yeah, that's why I went straight to manufacturing.
But I disagree with you, Nick. It happens all the time in business. People stay too long. They don't perform the way they once did. When you perform at a superhuman level, are you not allowed to just perform at the normal level that other people are performing at?
Yeah, but you don't. I mean, you're usually asked to take a step back or cut and pay or something.
So you're a superstar.
He was never that.
I'm not making the reference to him. I'm talking about just in business or any other company. If you perform higher than 99% of your fellow employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you come down to 50% more than your fellow employees, and then you're down to the level of your fellow employees, that's not good enough for the company today. It happens all the time. And I don't know why that is.
Well, then you got to look at the pay structure at that point. If you're getting paid at a superstar level and you're now performing at
You're in sales. You're in sales.
Yes.
That dictates the salary. I mean, it's not like Major League Baseball where you're getting a big fat contract. You earn what you earn.
It does, and it used to be more that way. More and more, I think management tries to homogenize that to where the star players...
Yeah, they resent that.
Well, they do. There's jealousies. There's all kinds of reasons for it, but mainly... I think it has a lot to do with, let's face it, management gets paid on bottom line. So if management gets paid on bottom line, if they can cut expenses and grow sales and not have to pay the high performers.
Yeah, but what do you grow when you cut? I mean, this is the one thing you and I have had conversations about forever, just as a philosophical approach to life. I would want the people that I work with to make as much money as they could, you know, without being irresponsible to the company. I mean, you don't just pay out a ton of money for you know, zero production. But if people perform at a high level, why would you not want them to make as much money as they could? And why is it that so many people in management today feel like they're going to cut their way to prosperity?
Because that's the easiest thing to do. That's the easiest thing to do. The hardest thing to do is motivate and get people to perform to the level that they're capable of performing. That's what management to me is really.
What it used to be.
It's what it should be. I remember when I got hired by Jim Hubbard, the whole reason that I decided to come to Decatur, Illinois and work for him is he told me, you can make as much money as a doctor if you're good at this, but if you're not, you'll be gone in a year. And I will never limit how much you can make because if you're making money, you're making money for my company. He says, you go to work for that big company that just offered you a job as a computer company. The point in time when you start to make more money than your manager, they'll figure out a way to pay you less because they won't want you to make more money than your manager. I go, really? I'm coming out of college. I didn't know this. And he was right. And so I embraced that philosophy my entire career at J.L. Hubbard. As long as it's,
which most people would argue was a pretty successful venture on your part.
It did.
Yeah.
It worked. And it wasn't rocket science. But you don't mess with producers' income, even when they have a down year. They're down year, they're making less money because of what, but don't cut their percentage because they had a down year. Just motivate them to have an up year because you know they're capable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's what they tried to do with Reyes. And frankly, I think that was a credit that they tried to do with Carpenter. The only problem I have with Carpenter, it was said that he refused to adjust. And he refused to get better, like bunting against the shift and adjusting his swing to hit against the shift. He was too stubborn. That bothered me about him, if it's true. But I'm a Mike Schilt supporter. I hope a great team gets him. He deserves it. He's a player's coach. The players delivered for him in the end, and then the management threw him under the bus. I don't get it. And I'm as critical of him putting in Reyes as anybody, but I would never have fired him over that. I think he stuck by his guy, and his guy didn't deliver, and Reyes probably feels as bad about it as anybody.
All right. I think that there's I look at business in America today, and I do, it's always been business. I don't mean to do some sort of rose-colored, you know, tinted glasses about the past, but there seemed to be a lot more emphasis on good management than what we have and what we see today. I mean, today just seems like, beyond baseball, it just seems sort of like it's infected everyone with, you know, it's just bottom line, and always bottom line, and only bottom line, even to the detriment of companies.
Yeah, I've always been the proponent is revenue is what drives a successful business. It's not cutting expenses. And, you know, there's a point where you got to make tough decisions, particularly in a crisis like a pandemic and things like that.
Absolutely.
But that's management, too. But on day-to-day management, you motivate the top side, not over manage the bottom side. And that seems to be the easier thing to do, but it hurts morale. I always said, if you treat employees wrong, they'll get even. Their employees are smart people. And just because they didn't make it to the management level yet doesn't mean they don't have options. And they will execute their options.
And right now, don't you think that the American workforce in general has more leverage than it's had in a very, very long time?
I think it does.
No accident that John Deere's on strike, that Kellogg, that they narrowly averted a strike in Hollywood over the weekend. Now, I'm not a strike guy. I'm not going to walk off my job. But having said that, because of this pandemic, because of the worker shortage, because of a number of variables, I mean, it seems to me when everybody right now is looking for good people, that gives the employees way more options than they had 5 years ago.
I would much rather see the wage levels go up this way, hire the employees you want and pay them more instead of less, and then mandate it through upping minimum wages, because that's, to me, it's a supply and demand type thing. You're going to get the best employees if you offer the best deal. And now and then you make a mistake and you get an employee in there that's taking advantage of the company. You got to get them out because the rest of the employees will think it's unfair that they're giving so much when you're allowing someone not to give as much. It's supply and demand in hiring good employees as it is in anything else.
But never more so than today.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, There have been some consequences to paying people not to work.
Yeah, but Kevin, even in the states where they've cut that off, people still aren't going back to work the way everybody thinks it's going to happen. I mean, right now, if you are literally a person with a certain skill set, you can write a ticket right now in a whole bunch of industries, and things are changing about requirements and what employers are looking for. I mean, it is way bigger than just money being handed out during the pandemic, which I think it should have been because we were going through a 100-year thing. You couldn't have helped people enough the last 2 years, as far as I'm concerned. Small business owners, individuals, people. But right now, things are different in the hiring field.
No, the intent was right, and much of it had to be done, but I think there were some unintended consequences that came out of it. But service has gone down, Brian. I mean, look at the shelves. I mean, our favorite stores don't have the products that we once were used to getting, we took for granted. And you go to service-related businesses, and if you keep cutting and you don't have the employees that will work for those amounts, services will be suffered. And I think it's happening now. It'll get corrected, but maybe some good things will come out of it. You're going to pay your people more. But the people that are getting paid more need to work for it and deserve it.
I think I agree with everything you just said, except for I think for in American business, by too many people in the last 20 years, it's being how can we get people to work for us for as little as we can possibly pay them, and we are seeing the consequences of that as well. Because when you give people choices and people have options, it's not like 2 or 3 years ago where you were lucky to have a job so you didn't make any waves. Right now, everyone wants you if you are a hard worker with talent and you have options. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing. I agree with that. But I think it's a parental responsibility to steer your children in those directions, whether it be in through education or learning a trade. But you can't get these good jobs unless you know something. So you got to learn how to either be a good tradesman or you got to get enough education
for a company
to take a risk.
But even now, though, places like Caterpillar are saying, we're just looking for you if you want to be on time, have a strong work ethic, and want a career, we're going to train you on the job. I mean, we'll literally, you know, during this pandemic, we've been doing a lot of interviews with the EDC and these companies, and we talked to a young woman, you know, who literally was working in a fast food restaurant who's now already been promoted 3 times at Caterpillar. And, I mean, they were looking for somebody who wanted to better themselves, and they will train you on the job. I mean, that is how competitive that is out there right now.
I agree, but I often wonder if there's a mentality out there with some of the new crop of workers coming in that I'm only going to do so much, and I'm only going to do this kind. And, I mean, I'm old-fashioned, but I would have worked 3 jobs to make ends meet for my family. I'm not, you know, until I found something good for me. You look at all these truck driving jobs that are out there right now. Why in the world aren't there young men and women who need a good job trying to learn how to drive a semi and drive a truck for a few years until you can figure out what you want to be in life or be a truck driver, a good one, your entire career? But no, I'm above being a truck driver, so I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I think there's also a lot of people that we learned through the Duane Andrews Ag Academy and the focus groups. There's a lot of young kids that didn't even think that was something they could do.
That's where parents come in.
Right, but if you don't have that parental support, I mean, it's a big, complicated equation. I'm just saying right now, if you're looking at what's happening in the workspace, people need to hire people. They're having a hard time hiring people. If you look at what's happening just in Los Angeles, you get 500,000 containers with nobody to unload the containers, nobody to load them into trucks, and nobody to drive the trucks. You want to know why the shelves are empty? That's why.
Well, it is why, but it was working fine for a long time, so now all of a sudden it's not. And some of it has to do with the pandemic in China. I mean, we're depending upon all these products come over here from Japan and China, and COVID played havoc with them, too.
It absolutely did. But it also accelerated things, and things have changed. You know, this last 18 months has been an acceleration factor of, in some cases, 10, 15, 20 years. Things that were going to change eventually have changed almost overnight, and I think we see a lot of that during this pandemic. And I don't think it's all bad. I think some of it's good. Some of it needed to change, and we'll see what happens. But I really do think if American business wants to get back into place, I just feel like, and I'm sure there's always been bad bosses. I mean, that much I'm confident, right? There's always been bad bosses. But it seems more commonplace today to only be concerned with the bottom line instead of growing a happy workforce.
I got to disagree with that wholeheartedly. In the simple fact that there was an entire generation that started a complete offshoring of manufacturing from the United States of America because they were concerned only with the bottom line. That's an entire generation that shifted the economy to...
Nick, I'll tell you, my dad worked at Caterpillar for 44 years. The unions priced themselves out of business in that industry.
But then you also had third world countries that they're giving slave labor rates too. I mean...
But it's not as simple as one way or the other. It got to a point, Nick, when I was doing this show, in the 25 years I was doing this show, the United Auto Workers came in and purchased airtime to talk directly to the union members at Caterpillar because the leadership here was off completely, would not accept what the national organization wanted them to accept. They had to come in and buy advertising to talk to the members that were working at Caterpillar.
I believe that. Yeah, I mean,
There were people that stood outside of Firestone and said, we won, we shut them down. We closed the business.
No,
that mentality drove a lot of those conversations as well. It wasn't just one-sided when you talk about a generation of things happening.
But that pendulum swing both ways, and somewhere it's got to get back toward the middle. I remember having a conversation with an industrialist who made everyday products that we use, and he had spent a lot of time over in Japan trying to figure out how to get his product made in Japan instead of made in Central Illinois. And I said to him and another industrialist I was having dinner with, hey, you guys, what's this going to do to our country? The people that work for you right now are the same people that buy your product. If they can't afford to buy your product because they don't have a job anymore, then what are you gaining by offshoring it to Japan? He goes, that's not my problem right now. All I got to do is figure out a way for my competitors to quit beating me because all their products are being built over there and mine aren't. And so I got to worry about the next 5 years, not 10 and 20 years out, Kevin. And that was his answer. And now 10 and 20 years out has come. And the consequences to labor being too heavy-handed and businesses being too offshore-centric, we're dealing with the consequences. And frankly, neither one of you guys are going to agree with me on this one. Trump was addressing it. He was trying to get products built back in America, whoever's president is coming up. And I don't know why Biden's not doing it now, but you couldn't see a more obvious reason to start manufacturing things in this country again and maybe adjust the wages that were competitive to do it. And God knows where immigration's allowing a lot of people to come in will be looking for jobs eventually. But we got to start remanufacturing in this country. Because we are at the mercy of all these jobs that got offshore, and we can make them here. Why don't we? Why don't we make steel again?
So, do you want the government mandating that?
No.
Okay.
I don't want the government mandating it, but the government passed NAFTA. NAFTA has everything to do with what Nick said, and it made us a more global country. So we can do We basically have all these human rights and all kinds of things that we put in place here in this country. But we allow all these American countries to do whatever all the things we're against in this country and other countries because we allow them to just to go over there and have everything made and come back here and sell it. So there's so much hypocrisy that's gone on from the way this country was built to the way it is now. And it's got to get back to the basics. And it goes all the way back to the analytics argument. You know, we're all about what's the cheapest way to make something and forget about the consequences of what it's doing to our people.
Okay. That was pretty deep. Bottom line, Nick, I do, you're right that decisions have been made always about cost. I see it more and more today that people are just widgets than before. And I think it's because analytics has invaded everything, and it's so much easier to do, right? I mean, everything. I mean, you used to have a bookkeeper, right? The bookkeeper like would put stuff in a ledger, right? Now everybody looks at the Bob and they go, okay, you know, here's what we need to do based solely on the numbers. And there's also an expectation level that we can cut and cut and cut and keep performing at the same level, that those two things aren't even in the same universe. But management today believes they are.
Well, I'm not anti-management, but I'm all for good management.
Don't you see less of it, though? I mean, in general.
I don't know how to answer it because I deal with so many businesses out there that still, and they're smaller businesses that still run their company putting their people first. And that's good management, but they still make good money. The ones you're talking about, I don't deal with them as much. But the bigger they get, the more that happens.
All right. I wasn't asking you to specifically comment on people you deal with. I'm just talking about in general. When you look at community leaders or the way things used to be with, you know, people who were out there doing things for the right reason, there's just fewer and fewer.
Well, I mean, when you look at just major corporations in this town that basically moved people out after a certain age, like in the mid-50s, because of what Nick said. They want to get younger people that they're paying less to do what all these people that built all these relationships and made this company all this money. They're not worth what we're paying them anymore. I don't agree with that. I think that's bad management. I think relationships matter.
All right, we didn't preview tonight's Soy City Buzz. You're going to talk about the Cardinals with Mac?
Yeah, we are, and we're going to have Marinda Rothrock on to talk about Black Hawk Down, the guest speaker coming up Thursday.
Is that this Thursday?
Yeah, it's this Thursday out at the hangar at the airport. Although, you better get your tickets because they're almost sold out if they're not. But I called the chamber. She's going to come on and talk about that. And we're going to talk about the Park District tonight. I just think Clay has moved into a very important role in this organization with Bill retiring, and he's going to come on and talk about his transition, plus Boo at the Zoo and this Christmas light thing that they started out at Hickory Point Golf Course is catching fire, and it's going to be great this year.
Let's hope it doesn't catch fire. You get lights on trees.
Yeah, so to speak.
Yeah.
Bad analogy.
Yeah, no, the trees on the tees, we talked about that with Clay a couple of weeks ago. Big success. And if you're a company that wants to get one of those trees, there's some urgency there. I mean, they're just about sold out as far as the sponsorships are concerned.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.